Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday night mess around. The Metal Hammer of Doom, brought to you by the one and only Rattlegem Broadcasting Network. And I am your host, the master of schedules, the mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. Your old pal, Wheezy, lap dance enthusiast. And joining me tonight is my co-host, as he's been for the last several weeks. He's pretty much replaced Robert Cooper as the second chair on this show, as Robert Cooper figures out what he's doing with his job situation. Ladies and gentlemen, the disapproving dad himself, a man who has not seen enough shows to play the Facebook game. I've seen 10 shows and one of them's a lie. Mr. Jesse Starcher, how do you do, sir?
I'd have to change it up. Like, maybe make it like, I don't know, I've read 10 comics. I could easily do that one. One's a lie. But the band thing, I'm unfortunately very sheltered when it comes to concerts. I just never either, one, had the money to go see them, or two, they just didn't come around here very often. So, it would be like, here's three bands, one's a lie. And then, you got a pretty good shot. You got a pretty good shot.
Here's three bands I've seen, and one of them's Scar Symmetry.
That's right. I got the shirt. Speaking of shirts, you got a shirt.
I did. I got a shirt for a place where there's no more pain. There was no more pain, Jesse Starcher. Yes, I got the new Life of Agony. I haven't bought an actual record, a physical compact disc in eons. I just refuse to continue to add to the clutter. Minimalism, that's the thing that Jesse and I practice.
That's right.
I've had the same The River Runs Again tour Life of Agony t-shirt, and I might have actually bagged it away during my change in size. So I was like, well, I have to have at least one Life of Agony t-shirt. I have to. Okay? Hashtag white folks. I have to have a certain kind of t-shirt, okay? White people problem. So, with Life of Agony, now, I normally don't do this, but the way that, like, a lot of these labels will get you to buy the album, physical album, and not buy, like, a digital copy on iTunes or some shit, or just do what I've been doing for the past zillion albums, just listen to them on Spotify, is they'll do, like, a package deal where they'll give you a lot of swag, they'll give you a lot of plunder along with your CD purchase. And I've seen a lot of the garbage they were throwing out there, but I did want the t-shirt. So I pre-ordered Life of Agony, A Place Where There's No More Pain, the album, the t-shirt. And then I sent you a picture of it because, God forbid, I do anything, and not put it on the internet.
Well, I think that's, like I said, I think that's something fun to celebrate, man. I wish that I would have had the opportunity to take care of they. I think Scar Symmetry, speaking of Scar Symmetry, they had an offer like that when they dropped Phase 1, and if I remember correctly, and I'm right there with you. I'm kind of like torn between, do I really need the physical media? But if you throw a shirt in or something along those lines, I wouldn't mind buying your CD and getting the shirt as well. So
yeah, there was a part of me that wants to do that for Alestorm, but I'm pretty sure if I do this more than once with the
early
birthday present, my wife's gonna punch me in the jimmy. So
yeah,
my wife, who has no appreciation for the Dan Band, and I'm now starting to question her gender. The Dan Band. Okay, turn around.
Bright eyes.
Turn around. Come on, man. The Dan Band is power. The Dan Band is love. The Dan Band is truth. But we're not here to talk about the Dan Band tonight, goddammit. That was a conversation Jesse and I were having offline, and because I can't separate offline from online, we're talking about it now. No, we're not. Goddammit. We're talking about Cataclysm side project XGO and their latest drop from this past February. It's a little late. This was something that Robert Cooper wanted to do, and we waited till now to do it. For When in Rome Week here on the Rattalism Broadcasting Network, and then Cooper couldn't join us. God damn it all. God damn it, Jesse.
Damn it, Coop.
But yes, XDO is a Canadian death metal band formed in 2008 in Montreal. Brett screwed Brett, Quebec. The band is a side project, as I said, of Cataclysm frontman Maurizio Lacono, based on the history of the Roman Empire, and specifically the Immortal Wars is about the Second Punic Wars. Hannibal and his march across the Alps with the elephant riders. Sing it, Jesse.
Oh, up to the north. Yes. I need the lyrics in front of me. You put me on the spot. I can't sing a Clutch song. I don't know what the deal is.
Oh, my God. You were like singing. I was singing the Dan Band at you. You were singing elephant riders at me. Yay! And now we go live. You stumble like a clumsy waiter. What the hell, man?
That's the way it goes anymore. Although, I've always wondered about what the hell. Why would you use elephants in a battle? You think that would not do a thing? It would probably be hard to control. But apparently, when we delve into this album, that was actually a fairly useful tactic used by, I think it was Hannibal had the elephants on his side, if I remember correctly.
That is correct.
But,
you got to remember,
yes.
Elephants are the tanks of antiquity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I can't argue that. I mean, yeah, you hop on an elephant. If you could control an elephant, hop on the back of it. It's got to be the most awkward thing, though. But, wow. Whatever.
Haven't you ever watched The Return of the King? Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King? And the Battle of Pelennor Fields? Where they
probably not as many times as you, but...
Yeah, once a year. they march a whole bunch of elephants into the White City, and they're just stomping. And yeah, man. Also, if you've played enough Civilization like I have, you know that the Indians, they use elephants as war machines. So yeah, this is not an uncommon thing in antiquity to use elephants if you had them at your disposal in the employ of war. So,
clickety clack clack,
quite...
clickety clack clack, Baltimore and Ohio.
There we go.
Yes.
And if Abraham Lincoln had elephants, or Robert E. Lee had elephants at his disposal, the Civil War would have gone much differently.
My goodness! Wow.
All right. So that is the game plan tonight, folks. XDO, the Immortal Wars. I'm going to read this to you. This is actually not on Wikipedia, but on Spotify. A little bit more about this band as we delve into the Immortal Wars. So as I said, this is a Cataclysm side project on Maurizio Lucano, who wished to combine his death metal experience with his passion for history. Only in metal, Jesse Starcher, only in heavy fucking metal do bands exist for the sole purpose of exploring historical events or historical genres. They don't do this shit in rap music, I'll tell you what.
Well, you better watch out, because supposedly there's a rap musical out there called Hannibal that's taking the world by storm. Or Hannibal. Well, listen to me. What is it called? Hamilton. Yes, I misappropriated that. Have you heard anything about Hamilton?
I mean, the guy showed up on, like, the dude who did it showed up on an episode of Last Week Tonight with what's his face, John Oliver.
Apparently, it's a rap musical. So, okay, I'm
good to him.
All right, continue, sir.
2009's debut album, The Nuclear Blast, issued Romulus. With Lucano handling all lyrics and vocals, the recording lineup was fleshed out by Cataclysm members Stéphane Barr, Jean-François Degenais, François Mongrain, and Max Duhamel, as well as Blackguard keyboard. Have you ever heard Blackguard, by the way? If you haven't, you should. Blackguard's pretty cool. Keyboardist Jonathan LeDuc, and also featuring guest appearances by Niles, Carl Sanders, Keep of Callison's Obsidian Sea, and Behemoth's Nurgle. Also worth noting is that the album itself boasted a far more melodic brand of death metal to back those mythical historic lyrics than the ultra complex and inaccessible style typically favored by Cataclysm. Are you familiar at all with Cataclysm? Have you heard much by them?
No, huh? I really want to seek them out, though. Now that we're hearing what I've heard today from this band, I'm now like, okay, death metal. I'm curious as to what the difference is. Have you? I don't know if you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard a bunch of Cataclysm, and go ahead.
I was gonna say, how's the vocals? Are they any different?
Harsher. Cataclysm.
Okay.
When you talk about European style death metal, it's definitely more melodic than American style, especially when you compare it to, like, traditional American style death metal, like Cannibal Corpse or Deicide or something like that. But there's more melody in European death metal, like Cataclysm. However, the vocals tend to range between being very extremely harsh and a little bit more melodic, a little bit cleaner. The band moved to Napalm for its 2012 sophomore outing, Caligula, which featured guest appearances by Seth Ciro of Septic Flesh, Mirangela Demirtius of Stania, Stefano Fiori of Graveworm, which if you haven't heard Graveworm, you should, especially some of their covers. Graveworm's cover of Fear of the Dark is probably one of my favorite covers of all time. Francesco Artusato of All Shall Perish. And here we come to it. In 2017, after a five-year hiatus, ex-Dio returned to the studio and delivered the ambitious The Immortal Wars, which used the Punic Wars, a bloody trio of wars between Rome and Carthage, led by the legendary generals Hannibal and Scipio Africanus, as its narrative foundation. So, going into this, now you knew we were doing this for When in Rome Week. What kind of expectations did you have going into it? Did you have a thought in mind as to what this might sound like, or did you go in completely cold?
You want to know what more influenced my expectation of this album was the fact that Cooper picked it. That's probably I was sitting there thinking, oh man, we're going to have Raithy McRaitherson at the helm with the vocals, and it's just going to be something that I assumed it would be way more towards the extremer part of metal, I guess you would say. That's the extreme part. I don't know. I guess. But yeah, I certainly didn't expect it to be what I heard. This first song, when we get into it, it grabbed me. I was like, oh shit, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good. So yeah, going into this, I had no expectations whatsoever than just what I kind of pictured Coop picking. And he's usually been pretty good when it comes to picking some stuff. So I was excited to hear something new, and I I don't think I was let down in any way.
No, I'm excited to talk about this. This was a pleasant surprise. So let's get
Indeed.
Into it. This is track one, The Rise of Hannibal.
Actually had forgotten that I'd heard some XDO recently in the past. I was running a Spotify playlist. I think it was one of those whatever it is where they pick your mix for the day or whatever they call it. But anyway, I Caligula came on there, and that really captured my attention into where I. Yeah, if you're listening to a song on Spotify, you can immediately bring up the song and hit the plus sign, which adds it to the songs, which I've been using a lot lately. If I hear a song that I really like, I hit the plus signs, it adds it to my songs, a big song list, and I can go find that list later and then pull off like the album or whatever. Usually it's just something I do. If I hear it, I can quickly do that. Well, anyway, I Caligula came on and I did that, but it's been a while since I listened to that playlist. So I'd forgot I'd actually listened to XDO and enjoyed at least that one song in the past. So when you proposed When in Rome Week, you know how me and you always talk about what we're going to open up source material with. Okay, what's the song we're going to use? The first thing that came to my mind was I Caligula. And then, of course, that shortly thereafter, I was like, well, hey, we'll just, you know, we're going to use what you put up there. But regardless, it was good heavy metal, and it had that Roman theme to it. So as soon as we brought this up, I remembered I Caligula, and I went back and saw it was done by XDO, and I was like, okay, well, now I obviously realize that those are it's the same band, and they have this epic orchestral sound to them along with the metal, which is great. So I, you know, The Rise of Hannibal, here we get this – they're setting the stage. This is, again, a concept album. Hey, that's another mark in the positive column for me. But, you know, they're talking about this guy who was a – who anybody out there that's interested in the history of this, real quickly, Hannibal is the Carthaginian general. So he is opposing Rome here. As a matter of fact, where you just cut it off, he's about to talk about how he says, Father, on this day, I promise to never be a friend of Rome, to treat them as a mortal enemy, this promise I make with my blood. So this is Hannibal. This is our, I don't know if you want to call him the antagonist, but he's definitely going to be one of the most prominent strategists in Roman battle history, okay? In these Punic Wars. I mean, you got to think, Mark, what are we into here? We're into day three of When in Rome Week here on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network.
You are correct.
How many times have we said the word Roman Empire? It was a freaking empire, okay? And this dude had balls on him and so much hatred for the empire that he brought the storm to him. And that's kind of what they're setting the tone here with, kind of get you an idea who Hannibal is and, you know, where exactly his motivations are. So there you go. Great first song. And I mean, as for the way the story's told through the music, oh, like I said, captured me immediately. I was down like a clown. Okay. Mark.
Nice. Well done. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go on to track two here. Again, this is these Wednesday night mess around, Jesse and Mark. It may be a mess around. We don't belabor the point. When we're ready to go to the next track, we go to the next track. So here it goes.
We do.
Let's go to the next track. This is Hispania. Punic War, 218 BC before Christopher, to 201 before Christopher. Eh?
was that his middle name? No, it started with an H.
Before Christmas. 218 before Christmas to 201 before Christmas. Most remembered for the Carthaginian Hannibal's Crossing of the Alps, his army invaded Italy from the north.
From the north?
To the south, where men with gavels. We're going to keep doing Elephant Rider things.
I'm wondering, now I'm starting to wonder if, like, Elephant Riders is a allusion to that war.
Oh,
surely, surely not.
Probably, knowing fucking Neil Fallon.
Well, the cover of the album has, like, a Civil War soldier, and I think, if I remember right, that had something to do with the Civil War anyway. But anyway, continue.
There were no Elephant Riders in the Civil War, sir.
Hey, sir, I'm telling you, if I remember correctly, I think legend has it that was something that people thought of. But I'll look that up, I'm sure, but go ahead.
The Elephant Riders of the Civil War?
I'm looking it up right now.
Look, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you go into the future, you will not find yourself. And you will not see yourself in the future because you took yourself out of the
Here
timeline.
Here we go. Here we fucking go. I almost wanted to bring it up at the beginning of this show. I'm like, no, don't get him started. I don't want to get Mark Radley started.
There's only two things I know, okay, in this world. One, if you travel into the future, you will not see yourself. You can't be in two fucking places at once. It only goes. It only works that way if you're going to the past, if you've already lived there. But
I think
you can't go.
The denizens of Facebook have already made my argument for me. I rest my case.
No. None of what Robert said made any sense. I mean, nothing that anyone said made sense. I just gave up after a while because.
Oh, come on. It can't be. It can't possibly be that hard for you to understand. All right, let's let our listeners in because they're probably like, what the hell are these guys going off? Mark Radulich has an issue with the fact that Barry Allen apparently ran so fast, he went forward in time, like, what, 7 years, and then was talking to himself 7 years into the future. Mark's theory is that if you run or if you disappear and go forward into the future, you no longer exist. Therefore, he should never have been able to talk to himself. Now,
there shouldn't have been a second one of him.
Yeah. He should not have been able to find himself. He should have been just – there should have been tales of his disappearance, and he's gone. And never to be seen again, right?
Let me explain it very simply. If you go forward in time, you take yourself out of the timeline and you reappear wherever it is in the future you go to. So let's take the example of last night's Flash, spoiler alert. He goes from 2016, as I believe, because I said it was 8 years. So it's 2016 to 2024. So that 8 years that he's traveled, he does not exist in time. When he reappears in 2024, there should be only one Barry Allen, and it's him. Now, if you can see yourself in the past because you physically existed then.
Okay.
So I get talking to yourself in the past and seeing, you know, an earlier version of yourself, but it should not work going forward. There is no other version of you.
Okay. And so you understand where we were coming from, where Barry Allen of 2016 goes forward in the time to 2024, returns after whatever the hell he does there to 2016, and then proceeds to go on with his life for the next 8 years. That is the Barry Allen that we're saying he ran into. It's the same one that went forward in time, came back in time, and then just lived his life. So
how can he be in two places
because
at once?
He returned back to the 2016 time and then went forward and lived his life like he should for the next 8 years. The exact same principle happens in Back to the Future too. Marty goes into the future and sees himself as an old man and then proceeds to go back in time and live his life from 1985 forward. That's why you see Marty McFly. Yeah, I know that's your theory.
He shouldn't have seen himself either.
I defy you I shouldn't defy you, but I ask you to bring some literary example where what you are trying to propose actually occurred. And I'll tell you why
you
that doesn't
like
happen. Because it makes
like
the story no fun.
You would like me to find you a literary factual example of a fictional construct.
No, I'm saying a literary or a not a literal, a literary or movie plot device where they use time travel, where a guy goes forward in a time and he doesn't find himself in the future.
I'm gonna make one.
Apparently, you're going to need to, because you're the only one that has this great idea.
I'm gonna make the most depressing time travel story ever. You know, a guy who creates a time traveling device, and he goes to use it, and he goes, I'm gonna go see the future, and he abandons his family and his children, and when he shows up several years in the future, he doesn't run into his fucking self, because there's only one version of him. Okay, what he finds is that he's been gone, and his family resents him for abandoning them all those years ago to go into the future. And so when he finally catches up with them, they're like, we hate you, because there is no other version of you.
All right. Well, there are some things that support your reason of thinking, I believe, because honestly, you're right. And it comes to, I think it was the other Mark was mentioning different timelines and cross and crap like that. Talking time travel gives me a headache. But best of luck to you, sir. I wish you the best of luck for real. You can write your story. I'll be the first one to share it on Facebook.
This is hot garbage. All right.
Mark Radulich got pissed one time, and this is the result. Please enjoy.
It's depressing time travel story. Resoundingly.
Hey, hold on.
Roman army.
Hold on. Before you get into that, I just want to let you know, the original concept for the title track and what became the title for the album, according to the bonus multimedia pack, which came bundled with the original CD pressing, was an alternate history version of the Civil War in which airships were used for reconnaissance and the cavalry rode elephants rather than horses. So you are correct, sir. It is fictional. There were no elephant riders in the Civil War, and Clutch was pulling a fully on me.
And we established that in North America. There were no elephants involved in the Civil War.
You never know.
Jesus.
I hope there was one out there. Just one that never got the history it deserved.
Generally,
the credit.
Generally riding an elephant across the Macy-Dixie line.
That'd been an image.
That'd be awesome. All right. Defeated the Roman army in several battles, but never achieved the ultimate goal of causing a political break between Rome and its allies. While fighting Hannibal in Italy, Hispania, and Sicily, Rome simultaneously fought against Macedon, in the First Macedonian War. Eventually, the war was taken to Africa, where Carthage was defeated at the Battle of Zama, 201 before Christmas, by Scipio Africanus. The end of the war took Carthage's control, reduced to only the city itself. There were three military theaters in this war: Italy, where Hannibal defeated the Roman legions repeatedly; Hispania, as we just heard in the song, where Hasdrubal, a younger brother of Hannibal, defended the Carthaginian colonial cities with mixed success until eventually retreating into Italy; and Sicily, where they make the pizza, where the Romans held military supremacy. All right, so let's get back to the music here. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this particular song that we just listened to, The Siege of Saguntum. Quick thing, I just typed that into Wikipedia, which we won't be doing that all night. But The Siege, I just want to let you know, Hannibal walks in there, and I guess he 8 months of a siege for these guys at the Saguntines or whatever they're called. But anyway, he tells them, hey, look, I'm going to go ahead and spare the population if you guys just leave unarmed with only two garments. So he gives them a chance, and they're like, no, we're not going to do that. So instead, Hannibal walks in there, and every adult gets put to death. So there's your fun history fact on the song that we just listened to.
All right. And, of course, the legendary Hannibal crossing of the Alps with his mighty elephant, his siegecraft of antiquity, the tanks of antiquity, my grandmother's favorite animal, the elephant. This is track 3, Crossing of the Alps. Hannibal attacked Italy in 218 before Christmas by leading the Iberians and 36 elephant riders through the Alps. Although Hannibal surprised the Romans and thoroughly beat them on the battlefield of Italy, he lost his only siege engines and, again, elephants, and most of his elephants to the cold, cold, cold temperatures and icy, icy, icy mountain pass. In the end, he could defeat the Romans in the field, but not in the strategic and crucial city of Rome itself, thus leaving him unable to win a war.
Wow. Mother Nature.
Hannibal's feat in crossing the Alps with war elephants, though many of them did not survive, passed into European legend. And
yeah.
If you look at the Wikipedia page for the Second Punic War, there is a fresco by Jacopo Rapanda from 1510 in one of the museums of Rome. So very cool stuff, I think. Very cool stuff. And a very good song. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, it takes, again, a very determined individual to say, hey, you know, I'm going to take my army through some mountains. And not only you're taking, I don't understand how in the world he pulled it off. I mean, he's got elephants that he's got to pull up through there. He's got all this military that he's got to try and command through there. But clearly, if you get past that one hurdle, you're going to have an advantage. So and you're going against one of the greatest empires known to man at that point in time. One of the greatest militaries. Just amazing.
Yep, I think it was an incredible feat of grit and determination. All right, we're going to skip track 4. It's an instrumental. It is the intermezzo. if you're having a fancy meal, this is where they bring out the servers. We're going to skip it.
More cheese, please.
And we're going to go. And we're going to bring out number five. We're going to go to number five here. Cato Major. Carthago Delenda.
Est.
Est. Est. Track than the preceding three, but very, very good. And you know, you had mentioned this earlier that they differentiate the music just enough to not be samey, but it keeps that same level of intensity throughout. So I really like that one.
Yeah, dude, this one right here is my favorite. Just by the way, it kind of starts off slow and then it's like right in your fucking face. I mean, it is a track that's, I think it's one of the heavier ones on here. And
by
what we
far.
Get when it comes, yeah, what we get, and that's saying something considering this album is full of nothing but metal, really. It's all metal and it's all heavy, but this one gets you going. And I'll tell you, you know, as they're telling the story, now we're switching over to, a Roman, by the name of, I think his name's Cato, or the song was, yeah, Cato Major, which I think Cato's his name. Major, Mark, you said names are kind of screwy when it comes to Roman stuff, like different parts of it mean something different or whatever. But anyway,
okay.
It's telling the story
you out here.
Please.
Cato the Elder, Latin Cato Major, lived from 234 BC to 149 BC. Born Marcus Cursus Cato, also known as Cato the Censor, Cato the Wise,
Cato
the Kalen. Ancient. You know what? I was waiting to hear that joke. Thank you. Was a Roman senator and historian known for his conservatism in opposition to Hellenization. He was the first to write history in Latin.
In his early years, he had a pagoda behind OJ's house.
Uh-huh.
He said the walls shook. He didn't know what was going on. And it was Hannibal coming down the Alps. Elephant riders everywhere. You're witness.
We're getting silly.
Oh, man.
All right, so let's see. What did he have to do with deal with the Punic Wars here? When Cato was very young and after his father's death, he inherited a small property in the Sabine territory at a distance from his native town. There he spent most of his childhood hardening his body. By exercise, overseeing and sharing the operations of the farm, learning business and the rural economy. Nerd. This land was a small but abandoned after the triumphs of its owner, Manius Curius Tontus, whose military feats and rigidly simple character were remembered and admired in the neighborhood. Who are the people in your neighborhood? Tontus. Cato was inspired to imitate that character, hoping to match the glory. So here's where the plot thickens. Soon an opportunity came for a military campaign in 217 before Christmas during the Second Punic War against Hannibal Barca, Hannibal Lecter, Hannibal and D.A. Baracus.
DC ruined another fucking property.
Experts expressed some disagreement about Cato's early military life. In 214 before Christmas, he served at Capua, and the historian Wilhelm Drummond imagines that already at the age of 20, he was a military tribune. And this goes on. So, yeah,
well, it sounds like in this song, he's just kind of gathering the troops and providing, well, I say gathering the troops, I mean, we just heard at the beginning of this song, they're calling him to order in front of like a Senate or something, but it sounds like he's giving one of these speeches like, hey, okay, be prepared. Cause we've got to go rid the world of this scourge Hannibal, who's coming our way. Be ready, boy. We're coming for you. Get Booker T in here.
Mark and Jesse ruined history and everything that gets
Hulk, in their path. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you.
But what side is he on? All right.
he shows up and like everybody's, he's just standing there and like the whole battle just stops. And then all of a sudden he does a heel turn. And next thing you know, fucking Hannibal's fighting with the Romans. He's like on their side. It's crazy. I think I just got a message probably telling me to quiet down. Oh, no. Wait a second. That was Teasley. My bad. All right. Go ahead. Continue.
You tell Teasley to quiet down. All right. This is Damn track it, Teasley. 6. This is Ad Victorium, the Battle of Zama. Kodama, fought around October 19th, 202 before Christmas, marked the end of the second. I'm not going to give up that joke, by the way.
Apparently not.
Nope.
People are going to be like, Christmas? Wait a second. I don't understand.
Come on in, horsey.
Okay.
You know,
we're beating you down tonight, baby.
There we are. That's right. There we go. Now you're picking up what I'm putting down. Marked the end of the Second Punic War. A Roman army led by Publius Cornelius Scipio Africanus, with crucial support from the Numidian leader, Massinissa, defeated a Carthaginian force led by the commander Hannibal, despite Hannibal possessing numerical superiority. This was because many in his army were recent conscripts, and the vaunted Numidian cavalry, which Hannibal had employed with great success in Italy, had by then switched sides to the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
You can't trust the Numidian. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Et tu Numidian.
That's right. Scipio had conceived of a strategy to confuse and defeat Hannibal's war elephants with mice. And then his force routed the Carthaginian infantry, thanks in part to the superior Roman cavalry. Defeated on their home ground, the Carthaginian ruling elite sued for peace and accepted humiliating terms, ending the 17-year war.
Oh, wow.
So that's what that's
so
all
this
about.
This is it. This is where the two meet, and then we finally get a victor.
Correct. In the Second Punic War. There'll be a third one, because it has to be a trilogy. That's what we've learned from Marvel Studios. There always has to be three.
When do we get the prequels, George? Ad Victorium, huh? As for the song, I think it kept up pace really well. You know how I said I really liked Cato Major? I think that I was worried, actually, that this is, you know, we were going to kind of drop from here. And they kind of kept up the pace. I think this actually may be my second favorite song on the album. So I dug it.
Yeah, it was really, really good. All right, don't look now, Jesse, but we may have a visitor. It's been so long since we've seen this person, I can barely remember who he is. I'll just have to call it out by area code and have him reintroduce himself. area code 336, who are you?
My name is Mr. Freeze.
You need
to chill. I'm still at work, but I'm like totally sweeping up the trailers in the back. So I'm like, fuck it, I got time to talk.
Yeah.
And you'll be happy to know I'm off next Wednesday. What?
Woo! What? Cut it out.
And then I think the week after that I start my new job.
All sorts of time opening up.
All right, I gotta ask you right now before we go any further. Do you love me? No. All right. So next week, right? You're off, which means you're available for Life of Agony, a place where there's no more pain. But more importantly than that, are you gonna be available to record on May 10th? Because you picked the stupid album, and I'm not doing it unless you're available. Vampire with Primeval Force.
Hey, you don't know if it's stupid. That band's awesome. Yeah, I should be. I think I start my new job by then. So then then I have 2 weeks where I open every fucking weekday. So it's like, yeah, I'm off by three every day.
Okay.
Awesome.
I will totally probably be there.
If you don't show up May 10th to record Vampire with Primeval Force, I'm making Jesse review Motionless in White Graveyard.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. Oh, God. That's like sticking your dick in a pencil sharpener.
I like metalcore, God damn it. And we're going to do metalcore if you're not available. That's my threat. That's what I'm holding out there.
Yeah, I mean, Vampire's
going to
be
if you're not on the
pretty
show.
Well, that's true. That's true. Considering you've been like, so what you looking at, Coop? I'm like, well, I'm working again. It's been really weird. All they've been giving me is like, they've been giving me not days I can record on.
I mean, do I sound any better on the
Yes, you sound much better. And we still haven't figured out what we're doing on May 17th now that the fucking Danzig album got delayed a week. We don't have a show scheduled for May 17th anymore. I threw some options out there, but I never heard back from you guys.
Well, I was going to look, and I just kind of forgot, because there's tons of fucking options in the past month I'm sure we can find.
Well, said it's not going to be fucking Cedar. That's absolutely one of the for sure things it's not going to happen. But I was cool with whatever else.
Cedar can't fight the Cedar. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Like, Cedar is awful. Like, every 15-year-old loves Cedar, and then their balls drop, at least emotionally.
their balls drop,
and they stop being a little bitch.
I would be happy to take on more suggestions from my former co-host if he would show up to a podcast every once in a while. God damn it.
Hey, I am still your co-host. I'm just not here every week. I'm like Robin Williams as the genie in Aladdin. Like, because you remember replaced him with Homer Simpson? Yeah, they replaced him with Dan Castellaneta.
So tell me, co-host, you picked this album. I want to hear you talk about it for a little bit before we finally end this podcast, seeing as we only have like two tracks left.
Are you shitting me? Damn, things go a lot quicker when I'm not there.
Yeah, they do. We've been reading Wikipedia pages and everything else and telling terrible jokes, and yet we still can get through most of this in a 90-minute period.
That's because you don't have the ultimate bad joke maker there.
This is true. You picked this goddamn album. Why did you pick it? What's it all about? What do you want about over there with your thing?
Well, I mean, X-Deo is a really – they're really – who the fuck does this fucking latch like this? God.
Oh, boy.
Anywho.
This is why somebody we can't get done in less than 90 minutes when you're on.
Because there's always side rants.
Yes.
But anywho, fucking X-Deo, they're a band that I've always found really interesting. What is fucking beeping? Something's beeping in my ear and it's pissing me off.
I'm going to kill myself.
Please don't.
Please focus, sir. It's the unbeatable squirrel boy over here. Coop, what do you think of this album? I think it's squirrel.
I'm like Doug from Up. But anywho, yeah, X-Deo, they're a band that I found really interesting. Something that I like in a lot of my media is something that focuses on, something out of the norm. So, for example, anime set in Pakistan, that was pretty cool. But with X-Deo, they cover Roman history. In terms of music, I know years ago, myself, Sean Garmer, and Mark Radlich once had a conversation about how metal just does so many different subjects that you don't see anywhere else. And quite frankly, you're not going to see many places that do, not many places or many bands that cover, Roman history.
That's true.
It's kind of, all of their albums, Romulus, I own that album. I like that album quite a bit, which is just about Romulus, which is pretty awesome. And the second album is Caligula, who's about that crazy fuck named Caligula. He's pretty cool.
I have not.
No,
seen
I just
the actual Caligula movie. I mean, I wouldn't watch it with children in the room.
Oh God! Oh, hey, well, I don't know, Mr. Brown-eyed girl.
How much do you know about it, Jesse? Are you aware of what Caligula is?
I heard he was Caligula is a guy, right? That was just he was a real bastard, wasn't he?
Crazy
bastard. So the movie is basically pornography.
Okay.
it's like really classily done pornography. You know, it actually tells the story of, I want to say Peter O'Toole is actually in it. I'm going to look it up real quick on IMDb. Caligula with Peter, I believe it's Peter O'Toole. Came out in 1979. Caligula, famously appointed his horse to Senate. Fantastic.
Which now we just have our president just does the same things.
Oh boy. Okay, so this wasn't Peter O'Toole. It was Malcolm McDowell. So it is a 1979 Italian-American erotic historical drama film focusing on the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, Caligula. It stars Malcolm McDowell, Teresa Ann Savoy, Helen Mirren, Hatsi-Tatsi. Oh, I thought Peter O'Toole was in this. John Steiner and John Gielgud. It is the only feature produced by the men's magazine Penthouse. Producer Bob Guccione. Yeah. The magazine's founder intended to produce an explicit pornographic film with a feature film narrative and high production value. He also cast Penthouse Pets as extras in unsimulated sex scenes filmed during post-production by himself and Giancarlo Luis.
Wait a second. Does unsimulated mean like that is a real deal?
Like they're just fucking.
Yeah.
And it ain't in the UFO, boys.
No, they were not fucking in a UFO. They were fucking in Rome.
Goodness.
So if you have an opportunity to watch this, I definitely suggest you should. It's a very gruesome ending, by the way, when they finally go after Caligula and give him his just desserts, especially what they do to his kids. It's pretty gross. But so the budget for this thing was $17.5 million in its box office and $23 million. Not exactly a singer.
Mm-mm.
Caligula received generally negative reviews. Roger Ebert gave it 0 stars, calling it sickening, utterly worthless, shameful trash. Why are we not talking about it this week on When in Rome Week? Why? How did I forget about this? What's wrong with
you? You should have put it on trial.
We really
because
should
I made
have.
Myself.
God damn it! I completely forgot about Caligula. Well, we'll have to do next year. We'll have to do When in Rome Week 2. Electric Boogaloo. Anywho. So back to X Dio. Go ahead, Coop.
So, yeah, Caligula was a wonderful album. I thought it was a real step up. The thing that I find really interesting is the fact that this band is so much better than, I forget the main guy, the lead vocalist. It's
Cataclysm?
So much better than his band. It is so much better than Cataclysm. Like, Cataclysm is so fucking tired. Like, they haven't had a good album in so many years because everything they do just sounds recycled. I don't know if maybe it's just the Roman-inspired music and themes that really bring the creativity out of this band, but, I mean, like, I think 2 or 3 of these guys are in Cataclysm, and Cataclysm's pretty mediocre, at least at this time. Like, my buddy accidentally downloaded Cataclysm instead of Catatonia. He's pretty mad. He's like, Coop, what the fuck? This album sucks. And I was like, I'm sorry, Nick. I'll just have to get you on the podcast to talk about it.
There we go. Everyone take a drink.
Drink. Yeah, he was pretty mad. He was like, God, that Cataclysm album blew. But yeah, this album, I've been listening to it at work, and it is, I mean, it's really impressive. I was kind of surprised because I mean, most of their music's pretty solid. It's a real good listen, especially if you're looking for a different sound. If you like more of your kind of Roman-tinged music and themes, it really gets the job done. But I really feel like they went above and beyond this time. At least that's from where I'm standing.
I agree. All right, let's go on to track 7 here while we still have you. This is The Spoils of War. We started tonight with, you know, lessons in Roman history. We're going to end tonight, or come close to ending, with a Wikipedia entry on the golden age of porn. I just want everyone to know that. There's a Wikipedia entry for a period of time between 1969 and 1984 called the golden age of porn. Why am I now just finding out about this?
Now, this sounds very much like the ages of comics, where you got the golden age, the silver age, the bronze age. Is there, now I'm wondering if there's like a silver age or something like that of porn. But please continue, Mark Radulich. Tell us about the golden age of porn. I can't proceed any more without hearing about this.
Refers to a 15-year. Did you ever think you'd hear yourself say that, Jesse Starcher? Refers to a 15-year period from 1969 to 1984 in commercial American pornography, in which sexually explicit films experienced positive attention from mainstream cinemas, movie critics, and the general public. It began with the release of the 1969 film Blue Movie, directed by Andy Warhol, and the 1970 film Mona, produced by Bill Otko. These films were the first adult erotic films depicting explicit sex to receive wide theatrical release in the United States. Both influenced the making of films such as the 1972's Deep Throat, starring Linda Lovelace and directed by Gerard Damiano, Behind the Green Door, starring Marilyn Chambers and directed by the Mitchell Brothers, 1973's The Devil and Miss Jones, 1976's The Opening of Misty Beethoven.
Whoa!
Considered by award-winning author Tony Bentley the crown jewel of the Golden Age. Why are we not doing a Golden Age of Porn Week? Never mind.
There's answers for that.
All right, Coop. Back to XDO here before we get completely sidetracked. The Spoils of War. What did you think of that one?
I think he's having an important work-related discussion.
Jesse, so, what did you think of that?
Yeah, let me step in here. Again, this was a good one. I really think that the second half of this album, while the overall it's great. Second half of this album actually really shines. And I don't think they slow down the pace much at all here, at least with this particular song. It's another good one in my opinion.
Spoils of War is definitely up there. One of the tracks I really enjoyed off of this album. Don't have a whole lot of history to read off of here. We're going to have to bring the Mark and Jesse Read Wikipedia pages to an end.
Well, it sounds like lyrically, it just sounds like Rome or the dignitaries of Rome are finally looking at Hannibal and say, "Look, dude, it's over with. You need to surrender." And so we're coming to a close of the Second Punic War, apparently.
Yes, agreed. All right, let's go ahead and clear, get to the end of this thing. This is track 8, our last track of this evening. This is called The Roman.
We'll be right back.
woman. After listening to this album again, though it was very close with the first track, in my opinion, The Rise of Hannibal, The Roman makes my 2017 best of mix. Just some heavy, heavy shit right there. Loving the double bass drum in that. Just, my kind of shit right there, all 6 minutes of it. I dig it. The Roman. Overall, I have to give this album, I think I can give this one a solid B plus, A minus. It was a fun, I think in total it has a lot of re-listenable qualities to it. Not a lot of ones where it's necessarily, there weren't a lot of standout tracks where like, we can pull this one out and just listen to, this one, play it on the radio or something like that. I think the album works better as a whole. Though, like I said, if I had to pick one or two to pull out of here, it would be the first or the last one. Though Cato Major is also good, as you said before. Overall, like I said, I think it makes for a total enjoyable listening experience and something a little off the beaten path for us metalheads. So, yeah, B plus, A minus, somewhere in there. Jesse?
Yeah, man, I was really impressed with this album. At first, I didn't know what to expect, but immediately I was hooked with Rise of Hannibal, like I said earlier. Now, when I heard that first track, I didn't know if it was going to be, I was going to be prey to that first song on the album hook, like, oh, here we go. This is awesome, setting the tone for the rest of the album, and then kind of under false pretenses find out that the rest of the album isn't like that. That did not happen. I'm glad I was wrong. There are no sleepers on this album at all. Everything feels heavy as hell. And it's even more weighted with the use of orchestra throughout the album, giving you that ominous gladiatorial tone that's identifiable with the era that these tales fall in. So it's an easy thumbs up.
Wait until later this year. If you love orchestra and your death metal, wait until later this year when we review the new Dimmu Borgir. You're just going to knock your socks.
Yep.
I look forward to that then. But yeah, this is easily a thumbs up for me, and I will be looking for more from XDO in the future. Absolutely.
All right. You get the last word, baby. Hit it.
All right. So in terms of this album, this was a really good album. A nice, honestly, just a nice turn of form from the guys in Cataclysm. Well, most of the guys in Cataclysm. God, those albums have just sucked lately, and it sucks. Anywho, XDO, just another really good, solid album. Really off, as we said, off the beaten path, really different. It's consistent in the sound, and I really like that the first song is pretty much just what you're going to get. There's nice little earworms in there, too. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Like Romulus off the first one. I, Caligula is another good one. Like fucking Rise of Hannibal is another one of those. It's just going to be in your head all day. It's fucking awesome. I'd honestly give this album a good 4 out of 5. It's real solid, really good. I definitely recommend it to somebody if they're wanting to learn some Roman history, which is always cool. You know, lots of fucking and stabbing and stuff. Not at the same time. Sometimes at the same time. Anywho, I'm gonna go ahead and get back to work.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. We'll see
you. Yeah, dude.
Next
good talking
week.
To you.
Life of agony, a place where there's no more pain.
Yeah, no pain. So, yeah, I'll be back next week. WTMNet.com, where they still haven't posted my fucking review.
Oh, my God. Take a drink, everyone.
And he keeps hounding me. He's like, well, you're going to post another review? And I haven't mentioned anything. I'm like, damn, Sean, where's my first review? I love him.
Oh,
Sean Garvin,
awesome.
Nice guy. Anywho. See y'all next
Sean
week.
Is providing us with a, thank you. Sean is providing us with a lot of wrestling content. Well, I have nothing bad to say about Sean. All right. Next week, as I keep saying, we got Life of Agony, a place where there's no more pain. This past week here on the network, as I said, this is When in Rome Week. We have been looking at some Roman-inspired media. We did Pax Romana by Jonathan Hickman as our comic book property for the week. Last night, Andrew Graham and I talked about Roman Empire, Reign of Blood. Tomorrow night, and the show is going through a name change. I'm not changing it every time that some new person comes on. It's just the show is going to be called Because You Made Me. You, whoever you may be.
Dirty rat.
You bastard, you. So Because You Made Me, the Lizzie McGuire movie, we're going to do that at a special recording time of 11 o'clock because Pat's job's screwing with him as well. But, yes, Pat Mullen wants me to watch the – because if there's one thing Pat loves, it's a good, you know, it's a good 80s romp. You know, a good, you know, he likes that teen, you know, ABC type genre. So he wanted me to watch the Lizzie McGuire movie, which I'm going to do after we go off the air tonight, and we'll review it tomorrow at 11 p.m. So that'll be fun. Jesse, what do you got going on in the world?
Oh, hey, wow! Did you already plug Pax Romana? You did, didn't you?
Yep.
Okay. I need to listen to you when you plug things. Listen. Yes, you do, Jesse Starcher. Listen, I get phone notifications, so I don't have to listen, okay? I can just check my phone notifications when there's something scheduled.
Did you see I was busy today?
Oh, I did, sir. I did, sir. I did. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, go give the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. I do a podcast on here, as Mark mentioned. It's called Source Material, where we talk comic books and some fun comic book storylines and some not so fun ones. And boy, do we have lots of fun on that show. And just like Mark mentioned, Pax Romana was this past Monday. Working on trying to figure out a show here this coming Monday. Keep an ear out there. Might have something fun for everybody to listen to. But I do know that you can follow me on Twitter at Stiznarchy. You can also follow the show's Twitter at SourceMatCast. Do not hesitate to go over there and check out our pinned podcast on the Blog Talk Radio account that kind of talks about what our patriarch is going through right now with his battle with cancer, Mark Radulich. And I had a pretty candid discussion about what he's going through and what to expect. So if anybody out there is interested in listening to that, you can also find out about the snazzy shirt that you can find, Fight Radulich Fight, that will help, you know, to throw in a little bit of support there. So check that out. Other than that, Mark Radulich, I think that is it.
All right. We've had another fun time on your Wednesday night, mess around the Metal Hammer of Doom, and we're looking forward to doing it all again next week at 10 o'clock. Why 10 o'clock and not 9 o'clock? I may not be home by 9 o'clock. We'll be in Orlando having dinner with the one and only freak boy, John Brodigan. He'll be in town doing his Republican thing, and we're going to meet him at the old Disney Springs. We're going to have dinner at the Polite Pig. Now everyone knows where to find us. And we got to drive home from Orlando. Then I got to put my kids to bed, and then I got to get ready for the show. So we're going to record next week at 10 o'clock. I should be settled in by then. So we hope you join us. We hope you enjoyed the show tonight. If you made it with us this long, God, I applaud you. And that's it. For the disapproving dad, for the late to the party, Mr. Robert Cooper, this has been your mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Radulich. Be well, be safe, and behave.